Dr. David Forbes.
Hallelujah. All right, well, look, open your Bibles to, let me see, where do I want you to turn? I believe Psalm 103 to start. Psalm 103 to start. And the supernatural lifestyle, must not be an option. I want you to write these things down. Look here. The Holy Ghost started talking to me as soon as I was driving up Cassidy. Well, he's already talking to me already, but he told me, say, gave some new things. So I'm getting here. I'm trying to write them down. I didn't have time to write them down. I'm just getting straight out of my soul, straight out of my mind and my spirit real quick. And then I get to the notes. All right. But being supernatural must not be an option to you. All right. You must never get to a situation in your life and you think, well, this could be a supernatural. Maybe this is not the supernatural move. Supernatural living must not be an option. All right? You must not look at it like an option. Maybe I'll be supernatural or maybe I'm not. If you are born again, you are a child of God. You are born of His Spirit. That means that supernatural DNA is in your being. All right? I'm a Forbes. It's never an option. Because I came from my father, David Forbes Sr. Same forehead. Right? Maybe I think I have my mother's eyes. Whatever. My parents gave me DNA. So what came from them is not an option. The nature of them that's in me is not optional unless I allow it to be. I have to choose. This is not optional, number one. Number two, supernatural living must go beyond just being an opportunity. Well, I got an opportunity. What's another word for opportunity? I have an opportunity to do something. What's another word for that? A chance. No, I'm not living by chance. All right? So supernatural, that's another way of saying what God would do or how God would respond or how God would handle something. It's not an option, right? You buy a car. You know you're going to have four wheels. You know you're going to have windows. Better, all right? But then they have a list of options. Well, you can get a car, but you don't have to have these things. Stop looking at your promises from God as options. Why? Well, I can have life and not have this. No. No, supernatural living is not an option, and it's not just an opportunity. I need you to get this. And then number three, it is an obligation. Now, God the Father, through His love, has provided all He has provided for you and me. All He's provided. Then Jesus came and embodied that in a human form. Remember John chapter 1, maybe verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now Jesus comes and says, I am embodying all that God has for you in the flesh so you can see it. No more excuses. Old Testament, they were looking at scrolls and texts and tablets trying to, well, who is God? Where is God? And then God, and Jesus said, okay, I'm here. I showed up. Now look, this is what I am. No excuses. Then that man Jesus died on the cross so that our sin would be taken away from us. I think we underestimate the value of what that means. In forgiving our sin, He took it away. He didn't just cover it. He did cover it and then took it away. There's no record of it. Well, there's a record. In your rusty, dusty mind, rusty, dusty, crusty thinking. Because the scripture promises, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has separated the things you've done wrong that are so bad. Oh, so bad, what I've done. God separated that as far as the east is from the west. So He has no record of your wrong.
Praise God. Hey, hallelujah.
Yeah, but you and I keep writing the record. Not by doing something new, but by reminding him of what we did old. And the only reason God has to deal with our old sin is we keep bringing it back up. Amen. It's an obligation to live supernaturally. It's not a choice. Well, I just slide back and let the enthusiastic saints walk it out. We sin against God when we live beneath where he provided. Jesus died for this. Then he died, then God raised him up. Lifted him up. He got up with all power in his hand. Easter Sunday. We won't have poinsettias out, we'll have Easter lilies out. He rose up, all power in his hand. And they said, when he walked, he said, the King of glory is coming. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Who is it? The King of glory. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the King of kings. He walked in with all power, sat down on the right hand of the Father, and said, sat down and dropped a mic. He just said, I handled my business. I did my part. Bam, watch my saints. And then we just poot and fart around, playing church. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a Christian. No money, no joy, no health. Can't even get rid of a cold. Just sad. We have an obligation to be supernatural, to do what it takes, to change what must be changed, to yield where we must yield, to break and brace ourselves, to do what it takes. When he was on the operating table, he held nothing back. So now we must hold nothing back. All right? Okay, that's just my opening. That's not the scriptures. That's just the opening. All right? It's not an obligation, or it is obligation. It's not an option, and it's more than an opportunity. Being supernatural. All right? Greater is he that's in you. We can go through this all day. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, obviously. So if he's in you, why do we have so many worldly, earthly challenges that we must not, that we can't overcome? Look, I'm going to just, let me just, before I get to the scripture, let me just punch the devil straight, bam, right in the mouth, teeth, gums bleeding, everything. Let me just, bam. I grew up in New York, and they taught us, if you ever get in a tight spot, just talk trash, blow smoke, and get the first blow. So let me just get the first blow this morning. There's no reason, this is going to set you free, there's no reason a football game, or an election, or the condition of your car should steal your joy. But an election, or a game, or the condition of your car can add to it. So God set this thing up. When something good happened, it advances you. When something bad happened, it doesn't matter. So I can always be pushed forward, but you're never taking me back.
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you three more words. Supernatural living must be intentional. I think Christians think you're just going to sail into supernatural living. You're going to have to really make an intentional commitment to be supernatural, to be like your Father. Number two, it is intimate. It's an intimacy involved. So we come to church, we learn corporately. We come to church, we worship corporately. We pray corporately. Yes, good. But there has to be, and this is the third word, it's inside. It's interior. This walk with God must be interior. Not just exterior. It must incorporate some of your time and your effort, your energy and your heart space when no one else is around. You can't just be a good Christian when you're a good Christian only with other people. Now that's the problem. Then we try to do it interior, and then all of our life exterior is just a lot of people that's not right. You need both, but it will not work just to be in church one or twice a month, a week, yeah, a month either, and just saying, well, I love the Lord, hallelujah, glory. Hey, come on, pastor, preach. That shit, go for it. It can't be that. It must be, what are the three? Intentional, intimate, and inside. It's inside. It's interior. It's an interior game. You defeat circumstances out here after you defeat them in here first.
That's right.
See, Jesus, look at Jesus. Before the cross even came, he wasn't surprised by it. Before the cross came, he said, I'm laying down my life, but in 3 days I'll take it back. See, he was looking out to where what was going to come, but he had to have that on the inside first. As you must have it on the inside. Okay, did I say Psalm 103? Yeah, because my add-on notes, I have nothing written down. I had to just roll with that. All right. Psalm 103. Glory to God, my goodness. All right. I want to take supernatural experiences from something that might happen into something that may happen into something that just manifested. See, this is what must happen. We're too passive with supernatural things. We're afraid to pray for it. We just don't demand it enough. There needs to be an edge or a swagger in your walk. Yeah. I'm a Christian, boy. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Yeah. What situation? What's up? What? Whether it's you or somebody else. What's the what? Oh, my father's been putting up with that. Come here. All right. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. See. Now I want you to notice who's blessing the Lord. Now you know, let's go back. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I know you know we are a spirit. We are a soul, we have a spirit, and then we live in a body. So out of those three, look at who must bless the Lord. The soul. Now, let me construct this properly. Looking at John 4:22-25, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we know we must come to him in spirit. All right? But if we come to him in spirit only, it's not complete. We know we have a body. If we just rejoice in the body, you could do that. Hallelujah. Everybody, but you're not entering in. If your soul is not there, it's not really getting through to the Father, not really getting through to the Lord. So the soul, that's why he instructs you here. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. See, and all that is outside me. All that is around me. See, we so much, Jesus, help me. We are so quick. Boy, a new house or another car or some new clothes or as you ladies say, some red bottoms, some Louis Vuittons or Marc Jacobs. We see these outward things. If it's guys, we want some kind of a football jersey or a flat screen or something like that. We're quick on that. Change that for me, Lord. Change that. Change my TV. Change my car. But the Lord is saying, can you change the inside? See, it must be an inside game first. Do you see it? Yeah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It must be something coming from the inside before my outside really is changed. As a matter of fact, oh, Jesus, I'll tell you this. Help me, Holy Ghost, slow it down. Look, even if we force feed the outside, your inside will bring it right down to that level. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, like Curtis Samuel. We share the same hometown. All right? Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. If you're from Chicago, you're thinking about something like Cabrini Green, the various areas, projects, subsidized housing. What amazed me is I would see projects go up and it'd be brand new. It's a brand new dwelling. But the soul of the people living there would bring it down to the level of their mind. You would think if you give somebody something brand new, that's all I need to push me ahead. No, giving something brand new to someone doesn't change them. They change it.
Right.
This is why you don't have time for some old raggedy boyfriend. God has saved you, filled you with his spirit, lifting you up, bringing you up in the word, and then you get hooked up with some boy or some girl that's not walking where you're supposed to be walking. You don't bring them up, they bring you down. So, see. So the project is not the building. The project is not the apartments. The project is the people.
Right.
Somebody got to do something and renew their mind, get their minds renewed.
Right.
Or else no matter where you put them, it will bring it all. You'll bring everything down to the level of your thinking. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Inside, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. What's another way of saying forget not? I'm thinking about Patricia Rushen. Send me, forget me not. Ow, ow. I want you to. That's another word for forget me not. Remember. I know y'all remember Patricia Rushen. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you really have the Holy Ghost. That's straight 80s all day and twice on a Sunday. My band sitting over here, they should be over here tuning that up while I'm talking about it. I'm saying a whole half a verse, and you're over there smiling. Patrice Russell. All right. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not or remember all of his benefits. I'm not feeling the love, Maria. I'm not feeling it from your brothers and sisters in Christ, that they get in a jam and they really are in a jam, but remembering my Father's benefits. It's distraught. Thanksgiving Day, I had some family members call me and say, oh, I need some help. Give us a word. We just what do we do with the election results? And I'm like, stop it. Y'all, stop. I told him, I said, stop it. I said, the Lord, there's an American government and there's a kingdom government.
That's right.
As soon as you switch to the kingdom, it's not going to matter what's political.
Right.
Prophetics beat politics all the time.
That's right.
Jesus, when he was here, he went around the Roman government. He didn't work through the government. He went around it. You had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And then the scribes. The Pharisees are like the Republicans. The Democrats are the Sadducees. And then the independents are the scribes. And so they all were clamoring to get Jesus. The reason they would ask him questions was to trip him up. But they also knew this dude is popular. He was doing so many things amongst the people. They had a following. And they sometimes wouldn't answer questions. Jesus would say, all right, you tell me this. And they're like, well, we can't answer the question. If we tell them the truth, then the people are going to destroy us. And then if we say he's right, then the people are going to say, well, how come y'all not following him?
Right.
So they were always crafty trying to get Jesus. But they wanted him to follow them because it would give credence to their side.
Right.
And so Jesus came along and refused to be a Pharisee. Remember, he was a Jew. He refused to support the Pharisees. He refused to support the Sadducees. He refused to support the scribes. He went around. He did an end round, a flea flicker around all of that and went straight to the heart of the people, straight to a prostitute, straight to a sinner, straight to a tax collector, and changed their thinking and their mind and their soul. told Zacchaeus, oh, Zacchaeus, today salvation came to y'all. He didn't talk to a scribe. He didn't talk to nobody. He got saved just because he listened to what Jesus said and changed his thinking on the spot.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Who forgiveth? So here is benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? No, some. Oh, forgive the ones when you were a teenager. All your iniquities. Iniquity is worse than a sin. Iniquity is practiced sin. But I tell you today, if there's iniquity in your life, all it is, Father, I receive forgiveness. You don't even have to ask for forgiveness. He already gave it. You just receive it.
Yeah.
How foolish would it be? And this has happened to me. I mean, you go to a restaurant, and I'm preparing to, endeavoring to pay the bill, and then they say, oh, somebody paid this. Somebody else has already paid your bill. And I'm like, oh, no, that's too good. I got to pay. I know I got to pay. No, sir, somebody already paid it. Do you know you can't pay for something that's already been paid for? Now, I could give the person the money for it and just leave it, but I can't pay the bill if the bill was already paid by somebody else. And I'm foolish to insist on paying for something. Hmm? One of the games I watched yesterday, a lady, they had three contestants, a lady, they all had a key to a door, three doors, three locks, three keys, and the lady opened the door. She received a new house. Now, how foolish is she to, the matter of fact, it was here. It was at the Ohio State game. Wasn't it? I was there. I was looking right at it. I know what I'm talking about. The lady, it was a three. I know what it was. You tried to watch the game on TV. I was there. I'm going to preach that right now. See, sometimes you just try to watch church on TV, it's not the same as being there. You miss some things. You miss something. You think you saw it all, but you didn't catch it all. Three people, and the reason I remember, it was Trinity Homes. And I know that's local. Trinity Homes gave away a house, and they had three finalists. So they had three doors with three doorknobs and three locks. And then three finalists, each of them had a key. Whoever had the key that opened the right door, they won a house. Each of them walked up, they turned the key, only one key opened the door. And that lady won, she won a house. Now how foolish is she? Trinity Homes said, we give you a home. We're billing you a house free. Oh, no, I want a mortgage. I want a mortgage and I want notes. That's just the American way. You're supposed to have a mortgage. I feel uncomfortable if I don't have a mortgage. Now, I slap her upside. Well, I wouldn't slap her. I would reprimand her as sharply as I could. You don't have someone give you a house and insist on a note.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, don't have Jesus forgive your sin and insist that you don't have forgiveness. So make up your mind right now. All my junk, all my mess, all my junk, all my funk, everything in the trunk is forgiven. Rejoice and thank God for it because stop. Oh, stop. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Now, I know. Hold on, Deacon. Hold on. Just sit down. I'm going to let you get up. I know you're ready to go. A horse pawing in the valley. He ready to come out the valley. Look. You have to take the degree to which the enemy condemns you for sin. You have to be that vociferous on the other side. So when I say the Lord's forgiven our sin, we can't be like, oh, well, that's nice. Oh, it wasn't nice when the devil said you was going to hell because you sinned.
Right.
So when you think about all my iniquity, so that would be iniquity is worse than sin. So now, when he says all my iniquities, he's saying all my iniquities and sin. Forgiven. All right, now you can go for it, man. I thank God, man. Woo! I was in a world of hurt. All right, let's see if we can call the roll. Forgives all my iniquities. Healeth all my diseases except the big ones. Stop differentiating. Stop. Put the scale away. Big sins, little sins. Big sicknesses, little sicknesses. He's all. Who redeems our life from destruction is number three. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, number four. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Five. A good life. And look, he does all those five things for one reason, so that your youth can be renewed like the eagles. See, he lists all the other things, five of them. Your youth being renewed like the eagles is not number six. He did the first five so that. Do you see it there? So that. Say so that.
So that.
I'm living a so that life. I got a so that anointing on me. Next time something happens, you just say, so that. He did those other things. Iniquities, diseases, loving kindness, tender mercies, good things. So that my youth is renewed like thee. I'm going to live a young life, broke and sick. That's getting old fast. All right, go back to the beginning of the class. Let's close. I gave you three eyes. What were they? Okay, intentional, intimate, interior, intimate, and then inside, supernatural. All right, and then there were three O's. Obligation. All right, it's not an option. More than an opportunity, and definitely, you had it right, definitely an obligation. I'm letting the Lord down when I go through a day. I go through a day and don't let something supernatural breathe through. I'm disappointed the Lord. Apostle Thompson is, I'm the same way. We're better than a quarterback or a point guard. Who shoots the best in basketball? Kyrie. Take Kyrie Irving. He might shoot 56%, make 56% of his shots. I can't have 56% of my sermons on target.
That's right.
I can't get by with 56%.
Right. That's true.
I need to be way up in the high 90s, 99. I believe it. All right? So, I don't come out here, I hope this is going to be a blessing to them. I come out here, I know, because I know what the Lord is going to say to you. How many sins and iniquities has he forgiven?
All.
How many diseases has he healed?
All.
Now, you act like that's going to be some swagger. Had any enemies, he's going to blow in. He's going to blow spitting chunks at you. He's going. That's just his way. But it has nothing to do. Matter of fact, the disdain he has for you, that's how I know you're going to win. You know, I felt. I'm not going to talk about it much, but I got to. You know, I felt strong for Ohio State yesterday. But you know, when I was at the game, you know how I knew? I said, oh, it's over, we winning. The guy on the other team, he went out and spit on the big O. I said, oh no, you don't spit on the O. You're going down. You're going down. So the enemy, he tries to spit, he tries to make it look bad, he tries to make you feel like you're not going, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it because you're supernatural.
Yeah.
all the plates and cups on your table that have nothing on it, it's just because the table's been set. It hasn't been served yet, but the table's been set. But before, oh Jesus, before anything can be served, the table's got to be set. See, the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. But the Lord has a way. The food doesn't necessarily come. He brings a plate first, and then set a cup and a saucer and your utensils. He wants you to enjoy the setting, like eating at Dad's house, Apostle's house. It's laid out. It's just pretty. I wish I could show you some pictures. It's just so pretty. And but the food's not there yet. But he prepared a table. Because you're special. I want you to enjoy the table. Then I'm going to fill it. Hello? Now, if you want to just eat at a choking puke, some kind of a juke joint, a hole in the wall, they just bring the plate out, all the food they fix in the back. You don't know what happened. It's just all fixed. It just lay it there. One plate, you're looking at the table, and then it's a plate with stuff on it. But if you really want to eat fine, you need some fine bone china. You need some fine chinery. Hallelujah. Without chips and cracks in it. Hallelujah. And some gold, silverware. Some gold flatware. Without water spots on it. Some restaurants you gotta ask for a hot tea without the tea, just the hot water, so you can stick your stuff down in there and get. I can't eat it if it got water spots. Oh, it's not dirty, it's just water spots. But I don't want it. Joelle, she won't even. She said, just bring me some plasticware. Didn't offend the people. Oh, ma'am, it's fine. No, just bring me some plasticware. Oh, we wash it. She said, it's okay. Just bring me plasticware. That nobody's mouth has ever been on. So when the Lord prepares a table, the first thing he's doing is putting a plate out there with gold etching on it. Probably with like your name on it. Fine drinkware, stemware, right? That's telling you, hadn't come out yet, hadn't manifested yet, hadn't been served yet, but you're not bringing out a burger and fries with this layup right here. So he's laying it out so you know what's coming. When you go to Darrow, that's the Lord setting the table. That's just telling you what that's just the plate. It hadn't served yours yet. It's just telling you this is how it's coming to you.
Yeah.
Then when it comes, it's coming. Amen. All say all diseases are going down in my life. All insufficiency is going down in my life.
All sin
and iniquity.
It
has gone down in my life.
And my life
is to be satisfied
with good things,
good events,
good
happenings.
I
demand it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, give God some joy. Some joyous noise. Make a joyous noise unto the Lord for this. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we lift the encounter at 10. May you prepare your people's hearts.